I then go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms.
Time has come for us to open the morning session, and we're going to take our hymn books, and Brother Sutherland is coming to lead us in congregational singing. Brother Sutherland, will you come? And now to open our session with scripture and with prayer, I present for the prayer in a few moments, Brother Rayburn T. Stansel of Virginia. He will lead us in prayer after Brother B.J. Martin of Texas leads us in our scripture reading. Come on, Brother Martin, and we join together.
In the 34th Psalm, the first 8 verses, we find these words for our hearts this morning. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him.
May we pray together. Our Father, we thank thee for every expression of thy love, for the staggering responsibilities entrusted to us, and the unique challenges of these days. We pray that we may so conduct ourselves here as to merit the confidence thou hast placed in us. We face the task of this convention with humility befitting our inadequacy. We seek thy wisdom to guide us. We need thy strength to sustain us. We ask that thy spirit control us. We pray that our every decision be prompted by love, and our every progressive step grow out of an abiding faith in thee. Guard us against Pharisaical self-righteousness, helping us to remember that thou hast other sheep which are not of this fold. Grant us to know thy will, and give us grace to yield to that will, even when it violates our most cherished opinions. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
If there are past presidents in the audience, I would like for them to come to the platform during this miscellaneous business session that is to follow in just a moment. Before we enter into this miscellaneous business session, I would like to ask the will of this convention on a matter that is of serious concern to us as we face the evening sessions tonight and tomorrow night, probably. I understand that last night there were literally hundreds upon hundreds of messengers who were unable to get either into this auditorium or into the overflow auditorium. Now, provision has already been made in previous conventions and instructions given through the executive committee to the ushers to say that seating is to be for messengers at the convention. We don't want to close the door to visitors, but we want to give priority to messengers in all sessions. And the procedure has been to open only the balcony to visitors and reserve the main floor for messengers. But this is completely inadequate in this particular auditorium. And the chair is going to make this suggestion, that admission into this auditorium right here, not the overflow auditorium. The overflow auditorium will be open at all times for anyone who comes, first come, first serve. That's the theater where the television projection is of this program. But this auditorium be reserved for messengers only, admission by badge only, or special pass only, at the opening, before and at the opening of all sessions, on through The scripture reading and prayer. This will be about 10 minutes after a session opens. This puts the responsibility on you as messengers to get here on time and claim your seats. But if you have not come in time to be here for the opening of the sessions, the singing, and the scripture and prayer, then the ushers be instructed to open the doors after the prayer and let anyone come to claim any seat that may be available. Now, the chair would like to make this suggestion. However, I would like for the convention to sustain the chair in this request, if you so desire it. What is your will on the matter? Those who would sustain the chair in this instruction to the ushers, would you let it be known by standing, please? Let's see if you would agree. Well, I believe you want a seat, don't you, as messenger? So thank you. So the instruction goes out to the ushers, and I'll ask the chairman of ushers to instruct all of them according to this procedure that's just been stated. Now, if you're a messenger, this puts the responsibility on you to come here in time for the beginning of the sessions to claim your seat, and if you get up and go out and lose your seat, then don't you fuss about it. You have a seat here reserved for you as a messenger if you'll come and claim it at the beginning of every session. Now we come to the order on the program. The order of business is now miscellaneous business. And as we begin this session of miscellaneous business, may I state the chair's policy for all these sessions. We will follow Robert's rules of order, and will be firm and rigid in observing the rules of order when necessary. However, at the same time, we will try to be gracious and with some freedom and liberty, if needed, to help us as a convention in a Christian and brotherly way to consider the matters that come before us. I shall ask that every person who wants recognition from the chair get to a microphone, ask for recognition, and wait until you're recognized. I shall ask that you give me your name, your state, and the purpose for which you ask recognition from the chair. The session is now open for the consideration of miscellaneous business. All right, will you state your name, my brother?
Robert Alley, Virginia.
What is the purpose for which you seek recognition?
To make a motion.
All right, sir.
Agreeing with President Dohoney that we should seek broader channels of communication and cooperation, in a conviction that it would be mutually beneficial, in light of current trends in the world Christian community, in light of the invitation to attend the Vatican Council issued by the Secretariat for Promoting Christian Unity to the Baptist World Alliance, and in light of the expectation of a cordial welcome, I move that this convention appoint a committee composed of the 6 seminary presidents and direct said committee to select a competent Southern Baptist scholar to attend the 4th session of Vatican Council II as a delegated observer from the Southern Baptist Convention. I so move, Mr. President.
You have heard the motion as it has been read. Is there a second? There is a second to this motion. Our procedure is that all motions shall be presented to the Committee on Order of Business, and they will schedule a time for the debate and the discussion of the motion. And so this motion is turned over to the Committee on Order of Business. All right. State your name, where you're from, and your purpose.
Kenneth Chapin, Texas and Kentucky.
Your purpose?
To put a resolution to the convention.
All right. This is the Billy Graham Professor of Evangelism of Southern Seminary, filling the new chair of the Billy Graham Chair of Evangelism.
In keeping with the very splendid note that Dr. Dohoney gave last night, be it resolved that in this convention that we give thanks to God for the ministry of evangelism he's accomplishing through Billy Graham and his associates. that we rejoice that the leading religious figure in the world is a man whose emphasis is upon preaching the gospel and calling men to follow Jesus Christ, and that we pledge to him the support of our prayer and continued interest in the promotion of the World Evangelism Conference in Berlin, Germany in the fall of 1966, with the desire that God may use this meeting to spark a renewed interest throughout the world in evangelism and missions.
All right, the provision is that there shall be a second to this resolution. Is it seconded? And the provision is that all resolutions be referred to the Resolutions Committee and reported back to the convention, and this is so ordered. All right.
Arthur Rutledge from Georgia, the Home Mission Board, I should like to present a resolution.
Thank you, Dr. Rutledge. We hear you gladly.
First, let me express appreciation of the Home Mission Board, of the families of your missionaries who are imprisoned in Cuba, and of the men themselves for the earnest concern and the fervent prayer that many of you have expressed on behalf of these, our fellow Baptists, who are in jail in Cuba today for the preaching of the gospel. I should like to present a resolution, Mr. President, concerning these imprisoned brethren in Cuba. Whereas on April 8, Cuban officials arrested Southern Baptist missionaries Herbert Caudill and David Feit, together with Cuban pastors and lay people, bringing to 49 men and 4 women the number imprisoned to that time. And whereas on May 14, Caudill and Feit and 32 of these Cuban Baptists were tried by a Cuban Revolutionary Tribunal in the Cabanas Fortress near Havana, and whereas on May 28, the attorney for Caudill and Feit was advised that they had been sentenced to prison for 10 and 6 years respectively, no sentences being announced for the Cubans. Therefore, be it resolved that we regret the circumstances which made it necessary for these people in faithfulness to God and Christian brethren to come into conflict with Cuban regulations, and that we call on all Christians and Southern Baptists in particular to pray that these brethren and their loved ones be spared any suffering except that which is necessary for the honor of God and the advancement of his cause. And be it further resolved that on behalf of our 33,000 Southern Baptist churches with 10,600,000 members, we respectfully request the Cuban government to remit penalties and release these people from prison. Mr. President, this is presented at the first opportunity, the first business session of this convention, because it is our feeling there is urgency here. Therefore, we should like for unanimous consent for the approval of this resolution at this session rather than referring it to the Resolutions Committee. If this is granted, then immediate steps will be taken to communicate with the Cuban government through the channels of our State Department.
All right, Dr. Rutledge, there are 2 points of order involved here, and we want to adhere to our convention procedures properly, and I'm going to ask if this is your desire to see if the will of the convention is that we consider and act upon this immediately. I'm going to ask that you stay here and make the following motions, and we'll find out the will. The first step we must take is to have a motion and a second that we suspend the rules. The rules state that we must refer all resolutions to the Resolutions Committee first. So we need a motion and a second that we suspend the rules, and it will take a 2/3 majority vote to sustain this suspension of rules. Do you so make that motion?
I so move, Mr. President.
Is there a second? There's a second. Any discussion? Those in favor of suspending the rule that requires this resolution to go to the Resolutions Committee, let it be known by standing, please. Obviously, there is more than a 2/3 majority, and the rules are suspended on this resolution. The second motion is, and you've already stated it, This makes it a matter now for the Committee on Order of Business. And the rule says that all new items brought must be referred to the Committee on Order of Business to schedule a time for debate unless by unanimous consent you choose to discuss it and act now. Is there any objection? Is consent unanimous? I hear no objection, and so we are in order now to act upon this resolution. You've heard the content of it already. Those in favor of the passing of this resolution, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner, it is passed and so ordered, Dr. Rutledge. State this. Here's a tragic, tragic note brought just now. Just now. The call has just come. Would you state it, Brother Corder?
Lloyd Corder, Home Mission Board, Language Missions Department. I have just talked with Washington and learned that of the other men involved in this matter, they have been given sentences ranging from house confinement for 2 years up to 30 years in prison.
I wonder if we would not like to bow together right now. Dr. Rutledge, would you come? And let's pray as he leads us for our Baptist brothers, our Cuban Baptist brothers, who have just received this tragic, tragic sentencing. Would you lead us?
Heavenly Father, as we meet here freely, we think of the contrast in the experience of our brethren in Cuba. These Southern Baptist missionaries with their families who have given long years of devoted service, and our Cuban brethren who serve their own people in the proclamation of the gospel, who today are denied this freedom. We pray for all of these. We pray thee to give to them in their confinement peace of heart, the assurance of thy presence and thy loving care. We pray for their families. We pray thee to give to them that peace which can come only from thee. We pray that thou wilt this day and in these days ahead use the suffering of these our fellow believers, even as thou didst use suffering in the first century and in later times, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray for the safety. We pray for the spiritual, for the mental, as well as the physical well-being of these. We pray that today shall be a day of blessing in the midst of adverse circumstances there in Cuba. We pray, O God, for the liberation of these our fellow believers as it lies in thy will. We know something of their purpose. We know something of their willingness to suffer for thee. If their suffering will redound to thy glory, we pray thy will be done. But we pray for their freedom. We pray for their release. We pray for restoration to normalcy as thou dost guide. We pray for the nation of Cuba. We pray for the leaders of that people. We pray, O God, that through these experiences, something will occur in the mind of the leaders that will enable them to take the steps that are right for the well-being of their people, and grant that liberty for the whole nation, freedom, shall be granted in thine own time, in thine own way. We pray thee to hasten the day of freedom for all peoples around the world. So we come. We confess that we are unworthy of the blessings thou hast bestowed upon us, and we bring our petitions on behalf of these, our fellow Christians. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
The prayers of believers opened the doors and loosened the chains for Paul and Silas, for Peter in prison, and let us continue in prayer for these Baptist brethren. We continue with miscellaneous business.
I'm Charles Nunn, Virginia. I have a resolution concerning diplomatic relations with the Vatican. Whereas recent news reports from Washington, D.C. would suggest that the White House may again have under consideration the establishment of official diplomatic relations between the United States and the Vatican, and whereas the Southern Baptist Convention and the previous annual conventions of 1950 and 1952 have gone on record as protesting to the President and the Congress of the United States the appointment of an ambassador or any personal representative to the Vatican, and whereas any such appointment would single out one church for special recognition and advantage by entering into ambassadorial relations with that church and be a violation of the American principle of separation, church and state, therefore be it resolved that we reaffirm our historical position on the separation of church and state and our opposition to the appointment of an ambassador or any personal representative to the Vatican.
The amen is a second, I assume. Is that right? All right. This will automatically be referred to the Committee on Resolutions if you'll give it to the Secretary. We hear the next brother.
Yes, James from Texas. A motion to amend the Constitution has to be passed by two successive conventions. This motion was passed last year, and I want to read it and then move that the Committee on Order of Business set a time for the hearing on it the second time this year. This was the motion. The paragraph 2 of Article 5 of the Constitution be amended to read, "The officers shall be elected annually and shall hold office until their successors are elected and qualified. The term of office for the President is limited to 1 year, and he shall not be eligible for re-election until as much as 1 year has elapsed from the time his successor is named." The remainder of the paragraph to remain unchanged. I move that it be referred to the order, Committee on Order of Business.
All right, there's a second. All right, this refers it to the Committee on Order of Business to schedule for consideration and debate at a later session. All right, Dr. Carlson.
I'm Emmanuel Carlson, the Director of the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs. I wish to offer a resolution for the consideration of the committee dealing with church-state relations and the worth of man. The resolution is longer than I like it. I'm hopeful the committee can do it more briefly. Mr. Chairman, if I have your consent, I should like it referred without taking the time of the convention to read it at this point.
All right.
I'll be glad to read it if you may.
Do you want it read or do you want it just referred to the resolutions committee? Referred, there's a second, I gather, then, from this reaction to refer it to the resolutions committee, and it is automatically referred as you present it to them. All right. We have time. Come right on.
Mr. President, Lamar Jackson from Alabama, I wish to simply make an announcement and request common consent of the convention for the secretary to send greetings to Dr. John H. Buchanan of Birmingham, Alabama. This is the fourth session of the Southern Baptist Convention, to which he has been unable to come since the year 1912. He served on the Oil Promotion Committee, then on the Executive Committee, the Foreign Mission Board, the Home Mission Board, and in many other capacities down through the years. He has had a series of heart attacks. Both he and Mrs. Buchanan are in the hospital at the present time, and some word of greeting from this body would be appreciated deeply by him.
Thank you. By common consent, I think this can be sent. Let me suggest this. There are a number of communications that need to be sent. And Brother Joe Burton, I'm going to ask if you'll come at this time and suggest communications we've received from officers and
I would suggest that we add Brother Jackson to this word to Brother Buchanan. Also, greeting to Dr. James Merritt, former recording secretary of the convention, who is unable to attend, Dr. Louis D. Newton, and Dr. Casper C. Warren, former presidents of the convention. And it might be well to pause a moment to see if there are others who ought to be included in these several messages.
Are there others that you think of as convention officials who cannot be with us who would need a communication?
Dr. Harold Seaver, president or chairman of the executive committee, who's detained by reason of blindness, as most of you know.
Back come. Another. Dr. Sid Staley will be added to this list. By common consent, we'll ask the recording secretary to send these communications. We have about 2 minutes left here, if you'll come. Make it quick.
Lester Howard, Texas, First Church, Mule Shoe, Texas. Whereas the Sunday School, this is a resolution, whereas the Sunday School Board is becoming lax in its use of resource materials, whereas the individual church is primarily responsible for the content of quarterlies and recommended literature passed to the participants and placed in libraries and use of membership, we here and now enter the following statement of current practices. The growing irregularities are of great concern and, unless immediately corrected, will soon become a matter of general distrust. The use of writers and speakers from outside the convention, and so far as we can determine, some outside of any church and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, is one of the most serious concerns. We feel that authors and our speakers, such as Evelyn Mills Duval,
let me ask this. Now, that this is a discussion of the resolution.
Yes, sir.
Read the resolution down here, if you will. You said whereas. Now read your resolution, and then your discussion can come later on when it's presented.
Okay. The policy of the Sunday School Board and all agents of Southern Baptist Convention shall be that all literature shall contain, list, or promote only those writers and their works which adhere strictly to Southern Baptist belief and which can be unreservedly endorsed. We further that the use of writers and lectures who are not of this convention be fully investigated as to their worthiness, verification to accompany each appearance.
All right, there's a second to this resolution, and it will be referred to the Resolutions Committee, and here's the chairman of the Resolutions Committee, who already has his work cut out for him. I think he'd like to say something here.
Well, we've got our asbestos gloves, as all the hot potatoes are tossed our way. But I came up here now just to call a meeting of the Resolutions Committee at 11:05, immediately after the election of officers in Room 203. Now, this is in the building across the way where the theater is. I think they call it the theater building. And it's on the same floor level as this is the lower floor of the auditorium at 11:05 in Room 203.
Remain here, Dr. Hobbs. I would like to present the past presidents as we close this miscellaneous business session. Would the past presidents step here with me? Here they are back here. Is Dr. Lee in the audience? I believe all the men that are present at the convention, except Dr. Lee, is here on the platform. Step on up here, brethren. Don't be hesitant. Step up here around with me, Dr. Ramsey Pollard, past president, and step over to the side here because I think the press wants a picture of this. Dr. K.O. White, come right on here. Dr. White, step over here. Dr. Brooks Hayes, he's a DD now. Bootlegging the gospel a little bit, you know. We're proud of it. Dr. J.D. Gray and Dr. Herschel Hobbs and Dr. Storer here. These are the men whom I would salute as the elder statesmen of Southern Baptists. These men... They won't mind if I kid them a little, but each one, every one of them, has meant much to me personally. I don't know how to express my relationship with them as brothers, as counselors, as advisors, but since they're elder statesmen, I'll have to say that they've been like a grandfather to me, each one of them. But in all seriousness, let me say to you men who are presidents, past presidents, this convention needs your leadership. We need your counsel. We need your guidance. And when we're in trouble, we want you men to speak up and help us in our troubles. Do you believe that? Give them a hand and let them know it. Now, gentlemen, may I ask you, you past presidents with your wives, I would like to ask that whenever you're in any of the sessions, would you come to the platform and sit on the platform and back me up and be with us here? Will you do that? Will you do it? Thank you. Now we move on.
We old men are proud of our little boy here.
This announcement, please. The Subcommittee on Boards and Institutions will meet today at 10 o'clock in room 202. Cale White, Texas, David Hall, Arizona, Mrs. John Alford, Georgia, Wayne Merritt, Oklahoma, Joseph Flowers, Virginia. Anyone knowing of a vacancy on boards or institutions, please notify Paul Roberts, Baker Hotel. And this, Paul Roberts is the chairman of this subcommittee.
All right, thank you. The next order of business is the report of the Executive Committee. Before they report, I'm going to ask that Vice President Roy Gresham come and take the gavel at this point.
Certainly no man among us is more greatly loved and appreciated than Dr. Porter Ruth, the Executive Secretary of the Executive Committee of our convention. We recognize him now for the report of the Executive Committee.
To this, the 108th session of the Southern Baptist Convention. This is the 38th annual report of the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. And if you have your book of reports with you, and I hope that all of you do have it with you, you will turn to page 3, where you will find the report of the Executive Committee. We're not going to read this report for you this morning because we hope that all of you have already read it. But I would just like to call your attention to one or two items in the report which are of unusual significance. And the first is the project which you approved last year in the convention in Atlantic City having to do with 70 onward. For there have been involved this year in a number of study groups all across the Southern Baptist Convention in every state, more than 600 pastors and laymen who have been seeking to translate from theory into actual practice which we have said through the years that the denominational agencies and the convention itself exist in order that we might serve you who are members and pastors of the churches. And I think one of the most dynamic and one of the most creative activities that I have had an opportunity to experience in my life working with Southern Baptist has been the opportunity of sharing in some of these study groups and hearing the hard thinking and the prayer and some of the work being done by these pastors and laymen as they are seeking to tell us and to tell those who represent all of the agencies of the convention what they want us to do and how we can serve them in doing this thing that Dr. Dehoney was talking about last night in seeking to reach out as we face this new decade which is ahead of us. Now, if you have your book of reports with you, I would like for you to turn to page 32. For here, I think you will find the statistical report of the past year. Many of you have already read this in your state papers, prepared through the church clerks, through the associational clerks, through the statistical officers in the state, through the Department of Research and Statistics of the Baptist Sunday School Board, showing something of not what we have done, but what God's Spirit has done through us during this year of 1964. And we need to take heart and we need to thank God for the progress which has been made. And then over on page 34, I would like for you to look at the distribution of the cooperative program receipts which you have provided from your churches and through your state conventions during this past year. And you will notice that there was provided through the cooperative program in your church and through the state, and let's keep in mind that we do not give to the cooperative program, that we give through the cooperative program, a total of $20,891,636 in the year closing 1964. And this is the good news, and I know you have already heard it, but I think that you would want to rejoice with me this morning, for you will notice at the top of the column, 52.27% of all of the cooperative program receipts received in our office during 1964 went to foreign missions. The first time that we have gone over the 50% mark, the largest percentage in the history of the cooperative program going to foreign missions. Yesterday, you received, as you received the bulletin, you noticed on the back page the recapitulation of the assets, the aggregate assets and liabilities of the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. And you will notice that the total assets as of December 31, 1964, amounted to $320,326,953. And of course, these are not all free assets. Dr. Dehoney mentioned last night that he was going with the side that had the annuity board. And you will notice that the assets of the annuity board amounted to the largest amount in this, some $130 million. And this, of course, this does not belong to the annuity board. This belongs to you. Now, Mr. Chairman and messengers to the convention, you will find on page 35 the recommendations of the executive committee to this session of the Southern Baptist Convention. But before we present these recommendations, I should like to present the very wonderful people who work with me. First, Dr. Albert McClellan, who is the program planning secretary for the executive committee, has done a tremendous job, especially in this 70 Onward project during this year. Dr. W.C. Fields, who is the public relations secretary for the executive committee and has the responsibility for much of the publicity that you have seen in the papers, along with a very excellent local committee here and other work, the Baptist press and Baptist program during the year. And Mr. John Williams, who is the financial planning secretary for the executive committee and has the specific assignment of working with convention bureaus, and he tried to get them to enlarge this auditorium before we had our session here, but was not successful in that. But we appreciate the very fine work done by Mr. Williams. Now we want to try something new this morning. And instead of having recommendation number one as the first recommendation, if you will turn in your bulletin for today to recommendation number 20. And the reason that we are having recommendation number 20 first is that we want to try out the new ballots which are being provided this year, which are intended to speed up our voting procedures. And it was felt by the administrative committee and by the executive committee, after we had investigated a number of sites and had looked at a number of invitations for the convention in 1970, that the best thing that we could do, not only just to try out the voting procedure, but we think that this is a excellent democratic process, is to let you who are the messengers to this convention say where you would like to go in 1970. And so you will see recommendation number 20. Well, now, who was to bring this recommendation? We decided the best thing to do in order to get someone completely neutral was to look at the map. And we noticed that Kansas was in between Missouri and Colorado. And so we have asked Mr. Rang Morgan, the member of the executive committee from Kansas, to come and bring this recommendation.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth. We recommend that the convention express its desire by ballot regarding the 1970 convention on Denver and St. Louis on the basis of the following information. Denver, an auditorium to seat a minimum of 12,000 in walking distance of the downtown hotels, adequate exhibition space, a guarantee of 5,000 rooms, the dates either May 18 to 22, 1970, or June 1 to 5, 1970. Concerning St. Louis, an auditorium to seat a minimum of 10,680 and a maximum of 14,243. In walking distance of the downtown hotels, exhibition space adequate, a guarantee of 5,000 rooms, same dates as above, May 18 to 22, June 1 to 5. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
I second the motion.
The motion has been made and seconded. I'd like to ask Dr. Fred Kendall if he will come now and give some explanation concerning the voting procedure. You're voting on this,
but let me explain.
All right. Yes. Are you?
He can tell that. I'd just like to suggest take ballot number 0 if you have it with you. And this is the ballot which will be used, and we ought to bring our book of ballots to every session. And if you are in favor of going to St. Louis in 1970, take your pencil, or you ladies can use your hat pin or your hair pin or a needle if you happen to have it with you, and punch out number 1 if you are in favor of going to Denver. Punch out number 5, number 1 for St. Louis, and number 5 for Denver. And whichever one you punch out, be certain that the little look on the back of it and see that it's off, because this is an electronic brain that's going to look at this. So be certain that it is off. And I'm going to ask Dr. Kendall if he will give you instructions about how to, where to hand your ballot and so forth. We're going to take a hand vote in just a moment on the date, on a sort of a straw vote. This is on the place, not on the date.
In the matter of voting, punch out the little perforation there and be sure that it's torn completely off and doesn't hang to the card. And then after you tear the card off, if there's any wax left at the end, be sure to remove that, because it might cause a little bit of difficulty in the machine. And use only the ballot 0, number 0.
Mr. Chairman, we ought to vote on the recommendation and then take the ballot.
Then pass your ballots just as quickly as you finish to the aisles, and the ushers will take them up.
Mr. Chairman, we ought to vote on the recommendation to ballot this way before we actually vote.
The motion has been made and seconded that we proceed with this method of balloting. If you are in favor, let it be known by raising your right hand. Thank you. If there's any opposition, you'll let it be known by like sign. Now I recognize the man at microphone number 4. Would you either come to the platform, sir, or go to another microphone? This one doesn't seem to be on.
Do not bend them, yes.
Be very sure and be very careful that you do not bend your cards. Now then, we... Now,
all right. Microphone number two. I'm sorry, sir, the microphone doesn't seem to be on.
John Brown from Virginia. This is a frustrating experience for a person who wants to talk. I just have a question for some information. I understand that the auditorium in Denver is not completed, is not built yet. We accepted the vote to come here 5 years ago on a promise of an auditorium that would seat at least 16,000 people. And I would like to that we seriously consider this for St. Louis, because that auditorium is there, and that we not act upon promises anymore in this convention, but wait until the auditorium is built.
Thank you, Brother Brown, for that comment. Is there any other discussion? If not, you're...
One, yes, St. Louis one.
If you favor St. Louis, you'll punch number one. If you favor Denver, punch number five. All right, will you pass your ballots then to the end of the aisle, and they'll be collected. All the tellers will collect it and go immediately to the teller's room, please.
And the teller's room is immediately behind the platform on the next floor.
The teller's room is immediately behind the stage on the next floor. If you'll collect the ballots and go immediately. Microphone number five is asking to be heard.
Has there been a reversal of a policy here? At first I thought if we wanted to go to Denver to punch number one and then to St. Louis number five.
No, it was said at the first. St. Louis number one, Denver number five.
Okay, this is, thank you.
Yes. Let me give you this information. It is true that the Denver Coliseum has not been built, but the bonds have been... It is true that the Denver Auditorium has not been built, but the bonds have been voted, and the plans are in the development stage now. They have given us every assurance that it will be built and ready for occupancy well before 1970. This is not an argument for or against any one site, but is seeking to give information. Of course, if it were not built... If it were not built, then of course you would expect us to come back with some other recommendation.
Thank you. I think that there is no need for further discussion on this since you voted already. So
I'd like to make a motion that would count to take a revote.
I believe that we have voted on it already. We'll have to go ahead with the...
You had voted, though, before this explanation had been made, and many of the folks around me had voted to change their vote.
You have voted already on the matter. It will go now as has been directed, and we'll hear from the results of it.
Usually we have the chairman of the executive committee present the first recommendation. I know that many of you have read in your paper of the loss of sight by Dr. Harold Sieber, the chairman of the executive committee, pastor of the Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile. I think you will be interested in knowing that we received we have received word that as a result of an operation in St. Louis, that it now appears that he may receive some partial vision as a result of that. I know, Mr. Chairman, that we will be much in prayer for him and for his family and for his church during these days. We are going to ask to bring